going to focus some thoughts today on our reading from Psalm 67. But let me just deal gently, swiftly with the latter part of that gospel reading. Because many people, when they look at it, think, oh my goodness, how rude is Jesus? But actually, he's being playful with it. And when he calls and mentions the dogs there, the original language is more referring to a playful puppy. It's got different meanings. And he's basically saying to her, or the invitation is, how much do you want this? How much do you want me to heal you? Where is your faith? How's it going, love? And she comes back with that wonderful phrase, yeah, Lord, but whatever you've got, let me have it. And that will be enough. Psalm 67, that invitation to worship and to praise. In the Amplified version, it concludes, where we've got, may God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him, or shall fear him. And then it goes on to say in the Amplified translation, with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. And I love that. All shall stand in awe of him with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. Last Saturday morning, I had the pleasure of sitting with my two lads, our two lads, and our son-in-law and one of our grandsons, watching Newcastle United play, their adopted team, play their first Premier League match. It was fab. So exciting. They played fabulous football. And yeah, we were yelling and screaming and whooping, especially at the 5-1 result, but it could have been 7 or 8. It was the most glorious game. As the camera moved across the stadium, there was most definitely awe-inspired reverence and wonder at what the players were doing on the pitch. Even worship of what was taking place on the pitch as people gave themselves completely and totally and wholly to what they were seeing. And I am sure there will be millions of people across the globe in 15, 20 minutes time or so as the kickoff goes that will be doing exactly the same thing. They will be giving themselves into that game with awe-inspired reverence and wonder. So I just want us to take the lid off a little bit off this business about what worship is and what worship is about this morning. You might remember a couple of years ago when we first started our gathering services and events. I started those services with looking at what it means. What does worship mean? What are we being called into and invited to participate in? But with this timely kind of coalition with the World Cup final this afternoon, just take a quick look and ask ourselves some questions about this issue of worship. The first thing is that worship is linked to worth. We worship what we find worthy. We give ourselves to something. Our worship is attached to what we hold in high esteem, what we hold most important or worthy in our lives. And we see people worshipping all kinds of different things these days and giving themselves over to it. But the biblical narrative is one that tells us that we were created to worship God. And if we're not directing our worship to him, then we will end up, because we are spiritual beings, we will end up worshipping something or someone else. Because that's the way we're made. But when we do that, we're always leaving dissatisfied and empty. The Alpha Course talks about, and in our Why Jesus booklets that are in all the church buildings, talks about this hole, this God-shaped hole that's all in our lives. And we try to fill it with all kinds of things. But the only thing that will fit that space perfectly is when we invite God himself into our lives through Jesus Christ. Anything else is not satisfying it. Now, our way our readings all line up for that this morning. Isaiah reminding us that worship creates a blessing. God loves it when we're looking to him and worshipping him. Not because he's some kind of sycophantic God that says, oh, come on, I really need a bit of something this morning. No, it's because he knows that actually when we worship him, it blesses us. It changes us and helps us live our lives the way that he wants us to be doing. Paul, again, reminding us of why we should worship, of what the glorious thing that God has done for us through Jesus Christ and why we should show that gratitude in our worship. Matthew recalling those events in that gospel reading there, reminding us that worship puts us in the right place. It puts us in a right place so we can understand the way of God better, so that we can receive from God better, so that we can share God better. That's what worship does. It recalibrates us. The Canaanite woman worships Jesus. She acknowledges who he is and she kneels before him. That submission of a worship. See, worship enables us to live life in a Godward direction. That's what worship does. It enables us to live our lives in a Godward direction. And when we do that, we see life more clearly and life more fully. And we're able to live life more fully. We're balanced. We're grateful. And you know, it's easy to lose direction in our lives, isn't it? And when we're not in a right place with our worship, we can soon become disorientated in our relationship with God. Sarah and I are working our way through at the moment the second series of World on Fire, which is the most fabulous, I believe, anyway, and it's got some great critiques of World War II. And there's one incident there where a man is caught in a sandstorm and he takes a length of rope out and he ties it to his guy rope and then he walks out into the sandstorm holding the rope so he can find his way back. Now, the same principle has been applied across the centuries to explorers in sandstorms, in blizzards, in whatever. It helps you find your way back. And worship, if you like, is our rope. It's our way of staying connected and finding our way home and receiving from God again and being safe in that. Verse 2 of Psalm 67 tells us about the way that worship affects others. Let your ways be known upon the earth, your saving health among all nations. You let the nations be glad and sing for joy. You judge the peoples with equity. You guide all the nations upon the earth. Our worship guides others to God. The way we worship, how we worship, the world sees the Lord through us. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome privilege. The world sees God and Jesus through us. When I was pondering that, I then immediately had this question that came in and challenged me. In that case, Dave, what are they seeing? What are they seeing? What should they see of the Lord as they look at me, as they look at you? Hopefully, they should see people who have been transformed by the love of Jesus. They should see grateful, joyful, contented people, empowered people, liberated people because of our worship of God. And the other thing to close is that worship puts things in the right order. The earth brings forth her increase. When we worship, things fall into the right order. But our worship is not about rules, it's not about regulations, and that's why where Jesus starts his narrative in the gospel account there. It's not about that. It's about our relationship, isn't it? It's about our relationship with God through Jesus. That's what matters. And that another account with the Canaanite woman, the woman by the well in John's gospel, where Jesus says, now worship is all about your heart. You worship in spirit and truth. It's not about the rules and the regulations that tie people up so much. Worship changes things. So I just want us to think of a few questions and then just to take a moment to ponder them in a bit of silence there this morning. What does our worship look like before God's throne? What does my worship, what does your worship look like before the Lord himself? How are we showing God's worth to us in our lives? What difference is our worship making to us and to those around us? And if the answer to that is not much, then what do we need to do to change that? And how are we living life in a Godward direction? And are any corrections needed? Just take a moment of silence now before God, pondering on some of those things, whichever of those has struck you the most. And then Margaret will lead us into our time of prayer together.